We're glad to have everyone that's here today. Appreciate your attendance. And Greg, amen to that prayer. We mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning how important it was to have young people. Mount Zion is very, very fortunate to have young people, and especially babies. Got several babies in our audience, and we're glad to have them. And if you're visiting and you've got a baby and it makes a little noise, don't worry about it. Unless it gets so bad that it disturbs the people around them, just don't worry about it a bit. I remember being a baby. Yeah. What I remember mostly about it was, I don't know how big a baby, I didn't say how big a baby. Beverly thinks I'm still a big baby, but I know she does because she calls me a baby every once in a while. Doesn't she? I remember one time in the old building years ago, and I just almost bet you that Mary Frances and Betty were probably here at that time. But the old building had a post down the middle, and we were sitting there pretty close to the front. My dad was leading the singing. I was bigger than I should have been to cut such a shine as I did. And my mother, of course, there was five little children, and some of them hadn't come along yet, but I remember kind of cussing a little bit. My mother kept, trying to get me to straighten up. She said, if you don't stop that, I'm going to take you out and whip you. And I knew that she would, but I didn't have great confidence that what she was going to do was tied into what I wanted to do. And I remember my dad, he just sort of cut that song short, and he continued the business himself. And when he got me outside, he wore me out, what he did. And when we come back in, I had a whole different attitude than I did earlier about what I wanted, I don't see parents doing that near as much nowadays. I suppose they're afraid that there'll be somebody giving child abuse or something anymore. But with Trinity, we've experienced in dealing with the child health services and so forth, and the child health, what you call that person, Beverly, that comes out there. But anyway, she's got some kind of title. But she wanted to know if we use physical discipline in our home. I said, yes, ma'am, we do. She said, good, I'm glad to hear it. She said, a lot of people won't do that. And she said, it's bad for the child. Wiser men than I am, and wiser men than we've got in our society today, they have said things in time fast that if we withhold physical discipline from our children, that we're not doing them any favors. One of them is a little, it's a Jimmy corner scripture, I call it. It's fair to rot and spoil a child. Now, if you look that up in your Strong's Concordance, it won't say it in quite the same way. But the essence of the teaching is still there. But everything don't have to be done in that way. Now, sometimes it can be handled right where you're sitting. So if you're worried about the child disturbing me, it won't disturb me. And I am so glad that we've got a congregation that's got children in it. And we need the children because that's the life. That's the blood of the congregation. That's what's coming on next. We talked this morning about a congregation that I know that don't have any young people. Very, very few old people, older people that even go to church there at all. No children. You know what's going to happen to that church? Don't die. That church is going to die. What a shame that it is. But we're glad that every one of you is here this morning. And as Greg prayed in his prayer this morning, we've got people through the full gamut of life, from older people all the way down to babies. And we're glad to have you here today. This morning, what I want to talk to you about in the next few minutes is Word of God to salvation. Now, salvation, it means a lot of things to a lot of people, but I'm speaking of this morning. Salvation, as the Scripture will have us to know and to understand it. I'm talking about the eternal salvation of our souls when our life is over here on this earth. That's what salvation means to me. Now, salvation can mean in the context of the way that we live here on this earth, it can mean a lot of things. Temporary salvation from something. That's all but saving. And that's okay to use it in that phrase or in that way. If it hadn't been for that, I'd have been gone. And we use it in that way, and that's fine to do it that way. But the salvation that I'm talking about is the salvation that God provides for. And God has always had a medium or means to give man salvation, but it's appeared throughout Bible history in different ways. And of course, I say, you wrote it on the board, I say the best for last. That's the sixth one that I put on the board this morning, and we'll discuss it later. I always think about the story that I heard about a man that was walking across the pasture field. And he was taking a shortcut someplace, and he regretted it because in this pasture there was a bad bull. And he's one of these bulls that hit you. And he heard that. He was walking across the field, and he heard this bull snort, and he looked back there, and here came the bull full speed. And so he made an attempt to outrun the bull and get to the fence, but he saw he wasn't going to make the fence too far away. And there was a tree in the field, and he thought, boy, if I could just make it to that tree. And he got to the tree, and the tree was way too big to climb. But he looked up, and it had a limb about 20 feet high. And he said, I made a jump to that limb. That was my salvation, was that limb. And somebody said, well, did you get the limb? And he said, no, I missed it, but I caught it on the way down. That was his salvation, is that limb. So there's a lot of different ways that we think of salvation in this life. And I'm going to give you a few of them this morning. And all of these that I'm going to give you this morning is nothing more than a lead up or lead in to the last one of her, because this is the most important one. The one that I want to talk to you about first is the salvation that God provided in the ark. Now, if you go back and you read the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, here's what you'll find. The Bible says that generation was very wicked, but Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. So God's grace has always been there. And people misunderstand God's grace today. They say, well, God's got grace outside the church. Now, I want to ask you this morning. Now, even though Noah found grace in God's eyes before the ark was ever built, God's grace truly was there. Where was God's grace after the ark was built? What's your answer? Where was God's grace? The only grace that God had after the ark was built was in the ark. Wasn't any outside the ark, because everybody outside the ark was destroyed. They lost their lives. There was no salvation outside the ark. The only salvation was inside the ark. Now, if you go back and you read Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, and then again in 1 Peter chapter 3 of the New Testament, Peter says that there were 8 souls that were saved by water. Only 8 people out of however many there was, maybe. For all we know, hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people. I don't know how many. I don't know what the census was on earth at that time, but I can tell you this, there was no salvation outside the ark. So the question might be asked, did God put salvation? God put it in the ark. And everybody that was in the ark, truly inside that ark, Noah and his family, they were saved. That's where salvation was. And so we find things that we can sort of relate to throughout Bible history, but things in this life as well that we can understand that salvation is not to be had just anywhere and everywhere by everybody. You know, it's a sad commentary, but I've had a lot of times, and I've preached a lot of funerals. I've preached more in the last 2 or 3 years than I've liked. And a lot of these people had no religious affiliation, no religious connection with anybody in the world. And yet, invariably, what I find, usually it's a funeral home, sometimes it'll be in a church building like this. When I do the speaking, I find that they usually have a coffin here. It's getting a little bit more popular to have a cremation nowadays. They just fit a label with an urn sitting there with the ashes. But nevertheless, whatever it is, I found it invariably that people believe that there must be salvation in a funeral service. You know, a person lives their life any way that they want to live it, as I said, that they have no affiliation with God. They've never committed themselves to God. They've never been a part of a church. They've never been baptized. They don't really know who God is in that sense, but when they die, they're saved. They're saved. Just ask them. And I see them time and time again. I find people that they believe that for their goodness that they're going to be saved. All they said was a fine old soul. And I remember all the cooking and the cleaning that she did for her family, and everybody looked up to her. I never heard her say a bad word in her life, and surely Aunt Sally's going to be saved. And Aunt Sally never set her foot in the door in her life in the church house. And you wonder, where did God put salvation? Did God put salvation in somebody's good heart? Is that where salvation is? Because somebody was perceived or seen as being good? Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there's none good, no, not one. So you can't live in such a way as to be good enough to save yourself without the blood of Jesus Christ. He's put salvation in the church. Even if salvation was in the ark, they want us to understand salvation was in the church. So in Noah's day, salvation was only in the ark, wasn't anywhere else. And it helps us to understand when we come down to this last one, perhaps. After that, many years after that, we find that the children of Israel were amnesia. And God raised up Moses, his prophet, his leader, and he said, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to lead my people out of bondage, out of Egyptian bondage, and lead them into the promised land, into the land that I'm going to show you. And in the process, because the hard-heartedness of Pharaoh down in Egypt, he would not let the people go, so God began to bring plagues upon those people. And you recall, if you know anything at all about the Bible, that there was plagues of frogs, and there was plagues of locusts, and the flies, and the list just went on and on. Finally, the last plague, we call it the plague of death, because the oldest person in that household, the oldest woman, the firstborn person in that household, life was going to be destroyed if that household did not comply with what God told them to do. And so God told them to kill the Passover lamb and to eat the lamb, but take the blood and smear it on the doorpost and on the lintels going into the house. And so the question came, where did God put salvation? God put salvation in that house. Okay. You had to be behind the door that had the blood on it. And Gene led us in that song this morning, when I see the blood. God said, when I see the blood on the doorpost there, I know that those people in that house are exempt from destruction. The oldest child, the firstborn child, whoever many there happened to be in that household, will not be destroyed. That's salvation. Where did God put salvation? He put it in the house. Everybody that was outside of their own house, whether it was in the palace, whether it was in some other building there, if they did not comply with putting the blood on the doorpost, it was destruction. So salvation was not universal. It did not apply to everybody. It did not apply to somebody that was a good person. It did not apply to somebody that was seen as a good citizen of the community. It was only applied to those that were in the house. And so that's where God put salvation. And then after they left Egypt, and most everybody knows this story, especially if you're a little older, and Moses was leading those people coming through the wilderness. And as they left Egypt, they had to cross the Red Sea in order to get away. And Pharaoh's army was behind them. And some of the people, they didn't understand concerning salvation. They thought that at that time that God had promised to save them, and yet their doubts arose, even as our doubts arise today. And they said, Moses, you've led us out here in this wilderness, and here's the Red Sea in front of us, and that's destruction, and here's Pharaoh's army behind us, and we're just like the sandwich. We're caught in between. Now you show us how that's salvation. So there must have been many people there that must have asked the question, where did God put salvation? And you recall how Moses raised his rod up and how the waters parted on the Red Sea? Well, we found there that God put salvation in the sea. Now people would say, well, sea of destruction, nobody would go to the sea to be saved. You try to get out of the sea if you want to be saved, because we recognize destruction in the sea. But in that case, in the Red Sea, was where salvation was. And so the waters parted and the people passed through the Red Sea. The Bible says on dry land. Didn't even get their feet wet. And yet when the Egyptian army tried to do the very same thing, they were destroyed. So salvation was not in the sea when it came to Pharaoh's army. It was only for those whom God recognized as being his children. So salvation was in. So the question we're at, where did God put salvation? He put it in the sea. And then the next one that I put on the board, this seems very unlikely. Then some people look at it and say, well, this is just one of them old Bible fairy tales. We had a man that was, when I worked at Holiday a number of years ago, who was a plant manager on Vine Street. And he asked me one day, he said, do you believe that tale about Jonah and the whale? He said, do you really believe that fairy tale? And I said, I believe every part of that. And I don't think it's a fairy tale. He said, I wish I had that kind of faith. And I told him how you get it. Faith comes by hearing God's word. So if he would read God's word and believe God's word, he wouldn't have any problem with it. But he didn't believe that. He didn't believe that story. He said, now, does it make any logical, scientific sense that a man being swallowed by a whale would be saved? And I said, it would make sense to me if God said it, if Jonah swallowed the whale. It don't make any difference which way it was. God said that there's salvation in the whale. We remember Jonah chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says that God prepared a great fish. Now Matthew calls it whale in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it'll say fish. I put whale up here because we generally think of it as whale. But the Bible says God prepared that animal, that beast, that whale. And when they threw Jonah overboard, which is what he requested because of his sin, here was that whale. Now, if they threw me overboard, I don't think that I would look back and say, oh boy, they threw me overboard and that's my salvation. My salvation's in the sea. God saved them in the sea one time. I guess he'll save me in the sea. But any of us would have looked at that and said, if they throw me overboard, I'm going to die. And God prepared this great whale. And can you imagine anybody today without the belief in God and without belief that God's going to save you? They said, oh boy, here comes a whale. Maybe instead of being destroyed in the sea, that whale swallowed me and that'd be my salvation. Can you imagine that? Doesn't that look goofy to you? It does to me. I look at it and I say, the last thing that I'm going to have to make be swallowed by a whale. And yet that was his salvation. Where did God put salvation? If Jonah asked this question, where did God put salvation? He put it in the whale. The Bible says he was in there 3 days and 3 nights. You know what he was doing while he was in there? What was he doing, Trinity? He was praying. He was inside that whale because it was his salvation. The whale was his salvation. It's unlikely to us. It doesn't make any scientific sense. It's not logical. If you want to think it's a fairy tale, think of it as a fairy tale. But you won't be thinking of it as God's word. God's word directs you to think because it was his salvation. And then the next one, I went all the way to the book of Acts for this, almost to the end of the book of Acts, and in the 27th chapter. Here's the Apostle Paul being escorted by Roman soldiers because Paul was a Roman citizen. And he appealed to Caesar, and he's going to have to be taken all the way to Rome, and he's traveling by ship. And while they were out there in the Mediterranean, there was a hurricane that came up. I describe it as a hurricane, even though King James Version does not describe it as such. The Bible says that this hurricane lasted 2 weeks, and it was the mother of all hurricanes. Never was it. Now, you people from Florida, you know what hurricanes are all about, don't you? You know what it is. This was the mother of all hurricanes. And they everything that was in the ship, they threw it out. They threw the load over, and they threw all the tack with it, trying to make the ship as light as they could so they wouldn't sink, because they didn't, they wanted their salvation. And finally, they decided, now these are seasoned seamen, they decided that salvation was outside the ship. If we can get out of this ship, because this ship's going down, it's going to be down, we're going to all be drowned. And you know what the apostle said? Except ye abide in the ship. Except ye abide in the ship. That's the only way you're going to be saved. That's the only possibility of salvation that you have. Where did God put salvation for the apostle Paul and for those that were journeying with him? In the ship. Now, Paul said, God has given me this. He has told me that as long as we stay in the ship, there won't be anybody perish. Just like Noah's Ark. Everybody who's on that ark will save you. He said, if you're truly in God's church today, he's going to save you. And in this case right here, Paul said, except you abide in the ship, you will not be saved. And you know, they stayed in the ship and they were saved. And finally, the ship landed. And Paul was saved. Where did God put salvation in the ship? So everything that we studied this morning is that God does not have a universal salvation anywhere, anytime, any place, for anybody, but it is in a place where God has specifically put salvation. And if you want salvation, you've got to know where it is. If it's in the ark, you've got to go in the ark. If it's in the house, you've got to go in the house. If it's in the whale, you've got to go in the whale. If it's in the church, you've got to get in the church. Now we save the best of life in the church. Where did God put salvation? In the church. Let me read you something from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, it's going to sound like that the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the church at Corinth, it's going to sound like he's talking about a human body. When you hear this, you're going to say, well, he's talking about a human body. Now, let's see if that's what he's really talking about. Beginning with verse 12. For as the body, which is also called the church in Ephesians chapter 4, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members that are one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now imagine this. Are any of us silly enough this morning to think that we can cut our finger off and the finger can go its own way to have salvation? Is it possible that we can think in those terms? We know that finger has to be a part of this body or it can't be saved. Now, if you've ever known anybody, Jerry and I have got a little friend that he lost a finger. He doesn't have that finger anymore. And when you look at him, he just got a little stub right here. And he told me, I believe he's got to cut off the saw or something. Oh. Mowing machine, that's what it was. But he doesn't have it anymore. And so it's not part of his body anymore. It doesn't live anymore. Wherever that finger is, I don't know what they did with his finger, but I think it's dead. His body's not supplying that finger anymore with blood and oxygen and all the things. He can't survive without the body. And all of us have known people that have lost some part of their body. That body, that part does not exist anymore. That's exactly what Paul was telling us. Where did God put salvation? He put it in the body. All of our members. If you cut one leg off, that leg doesn't just keep on walking by itself. It doesn't kick anybody, it doesn't do anything, because it's dead, it does not live in the body anymore. It's got to be attached to the body before it can live. A person that can be a member of the Lord's church, this body, and leaves the church and goes out on his own, and need to come back on the day that he died and say, "I'm saved, I'm saved." Now he's already dead. Where did God put salvation? Now he put salvation in the church. Acts chapter 2 was the day of Pentecost. And Peter and those other apostles preached the first gospel sermon that was ever preached. They had no idea, they had no real idea that they had killed the Son of God. And once they learned and once they became convinced that they had killed God's Son, they asked this question. They could have asked the question, where did God put salvation? But the question that they asked was, is what must we do? What do we do now? We killed the Son of God. What do we do now? Peter said, repent and be baptized for remission of sin. And they did, 3,000 on that day. You know where God put them? He didn't put them in the ark. He didn't put them in the house. He didn't put them in the Red Sea or the whale. He didn't put them in the ship. He put them in the church. And God added to the church daily such as should be saved. When you are saved today, when you are obedient to God, for God's word, where God puts you, he puts you in his church. And you are not in his church until you comply, just like Noah did, just like Jonah did, just like Moses did, until you comply with God's will. And when you comply with God's will, you do what he's told you to do, and you're saved, God put you in his church. Where is salvation? Where did God put salvation? He put it in the church. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a member of his church, God has not yet put you in his church because you haven't complied with what he told you to do. You're not saved. You do not have salvation. It's easy for us to understand. The only place that there's salvation in this whole wide world, whether it be palaces, whether it be things that man has made, whether it be things that God has made, the only place that there's salvation is in the church. It's always a sad thing to me when somebody calls me from down to this funeral home and they say, "David, we want you to preach this sermon, a funeral sermon." And I find out that those people have no affiliation with God whatsoever, and they still think they're saved. And they say, "Boy, what a hard-hearted attitude that you preachers have, that you think that you've got to be a member of the church before you're saved." My friends, all I can do is just tell you what God said. It's not something that I made up. It's not some new idea that I've come up with. The only place that there is any salvation is in the church, because that's where God puts salvation. And if you're not in there with it, you don't have salvation. Is there somebody here this morning that didn't understand what I said? Is there somebody here this morning that did not hear what I read from God's Word? The only place that there's salvation is in the church. Salvation is where God puts it. God puts it in the church. If you're not in it this morning, you ain't saved. You don't have it. If you want it, come get it. Get him while he's in.